What's the name of the podcast, Ethan?
I don't fucking know.
Yeah, it's not comedy.
It's not gonna be a podcast. It's gonna be a fucking train wreck.
I wouldn't say that.
All right, here we're rolling. Bobby Sandu.
He's
Namaste.
Made it.
Namaste.
Friends.
How are we? Hitting us with that shit.
Sorry?
Hitting us with that shit off the bat.
Why not?
Mr. Enlightened.
He's back from
strangling. I'm still mad at this guy. I'm still upset. Giving me a fucking dick pill.
He's telling me, oh, my girlfriend's away. I was like, oh, yeah.
I got something for you.
Plus, we've done some Valium.
Maybe.
Allegedly.
It's a prescription drug.
Sure.
You're not going to get in trouble for that.
Okay. Yeah. I have the problem that you need Valium for.
Yeah. Exactly. Doctor,
you really
prescribed.
Seem like it. Yeah.
Dr. Bobby.
Yeah.
Mm. Well, you always said your parents wanted a doctor. They fucking got one.
That's it. Chemistry. That's my field.
I feel like your methods of therapy
are a bit. Well, you should just keep trying different things. That's an epiphany I heard. I had one of the...
You can't say that. You should just keep trying different things.
Well,
hey, you got a broken
working,
heart.
You should try something else.
You should try a dick pill. What are you talking
about?
But
sometimes you don't know where the solution's going to come from.
Yeah, that's true.
It might come from a dick pill.
I highly doubt it, but it doesn't hurt to try.
Yeah.
One time I had a spliff, and I was trying to find a quiet, like, secluded area to sit away from people, you know, in case, I don't know, I'll get fucking police coming for me or something.
Mm-hmm.
And to get to a secluded place, you got to get away from, you know, houses. So before long, I'm like by a body of water somewhere, and then there's all these mosquitoes and bugs. So I'm like, fuck, I'm away from people, but I just can't peacefully sit down and puff this thing. And I'm like, ah, oh, what do I do? And I just kind of squatted down and I did nothing. And when I lit the spliff, the smoke from the spliff, everything went away. Yeah. All the mosquitoes gone.
Problem solved.
Bam. The solution was doing nothing but
putting your head down.
Keep the solution was drugs.
Soldiering on.
No, it was to get the mosquitoes stoned so we'd leave him alone.
But I couldn't have anticipated that. I was expecting, oh, I don't know, I'm going to have to do this, do that. I didn't have to do anything but keep fucking going.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what it's all about. Keep fucking going.
Life lessons with Bobby Sandu.
We're still fucking going. We're still doing this shit.
Yeah.
How many episodes have you guys done now?
Well, this is like 150.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
Yeah, more than should have ever been. Yeah. It's still going.
We just keep doing it. Yeah. At this point, it's just a habit.
Dude, I remember the first one I did with you guys, I was still living in Melbourne.
Yeah. You'd come up from Melbourne to visit. I think you did the Stag and Hunter.
Yeah, I emceed the Crown.
Oh, the Crown and Anchor.
Yeah.
What a good time. Talk about being thrown in the deep end when you're not ready for it.
Oh, yeah. But I pretended. I always just pretend like I'm... Yeah, sure. The guy's like, have you ever emceed before? And one time, I was at an open mic in Melbourne and someone had given me a brownie and I could barely function. So they thought it'd be funny to just make me host because I couldn't hold it together.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, I've got prior experience. You know, I just... Why not? Why
it wasn't
not?
A lie.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I did Wednesday night at a fucking bong before the show.
Had a bong before the Stag.
Yeah.
Yeah. You had a good set though, didn't you?
I lit up that dude who called me gay.
what happened?
He called me gay. He was a heckler. He said something and then he called me gay. I was like, you're one to fucking talk with your bright blue thongs and your fucking short shorts.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then he opened up his phone and immediately started playing this gay song. I was just like lit
him
up for
him
that.
For it, yeah. And then they got upset and left.
He sat on his phone and ignored me the entire rest of my set.
Yeah.
Because he knew he couldn't.
Well, he gave it out and couldn't take it back.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It was funny.
What can you do?
Yeah. So. And then I crowd worked the doctors who Ronan tried to crowd work.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I was like, foot doctors. How many feet can you suck before you lose your job?
Yeah. I remember this. This is that Stag gig.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I talked to this guy in the front row, and he said something. He's like, "You have a small dick," and I'm like, "Whoa, I'm just trying to talk to you, have a conversation. Now you're insulting me. And anytime I'm insulted by someone in the audience, I'm like, I'd rather just fucking wrestle with you, dude. Like, I would rather not have a war of words, you know?
Doesn't matter how small my dick is when it's going to be inside you, because I could rape you if I wanted to.
Yeah.
And I always, another thing that goes through my head is, I go, if someone gets close to the stage, right, because what, like, with a roundhouse kick, right? the higher up you kick,
yeah,
you kind of lose power because the hip mobility and stuff, yeah, is required. Okay. But when someone's standing below the stage and you're on the stage,
it's like throwing
a leg kick.
Yeah,
but it'll smack the guy in the head.
Yeah,
yeah.
That guy, that's dead, and they'll never see that coming. So I replay that scenario about 100 times. I got a bunch of strategies for hecklers. The mic cord, you can do some Assassin's Creed 3 shit, you know what I mean? Especially if you got the jump on the come. But I've learned from security, you have to provoke the guy first.
So that he comes at you.
Yeah, you have to be like, oh, da, da, da. Yeah. Get him to, and then, whoa, I was defending myself, you know what I mean?
You're like the matador waving the flag for the bull.
I put my hands up and I'll act all docile and I'll walk backwards, but then I'm like, fuck your mother, you know what I mean? Your sister's a whore. And on camera, I'll be like, Your Honor, I was telling him, please, I gotta feed my little Indian family.
Look, on camera, it looks like you're doing this, there's no audio.
I've worked venues where they would mark with security tape, like, make sure you go past this area if you're gonna do anything.
Because that's where the blind spots are.
Can we say this on camera?
maybe. This is all comedy, you know? Yeah.
This is just a bit, guys.
Yeah. Oh, fuck. Because, you get away with some shit in security.
I think it depends more on your immediate co-workers and your boss, like, at the lowest level, if you get checked. Like, when I worked in Newcastle, you couldn't get away with anything. But then, if your other security guys are covering for you, then the supervisor, then there's the people who are, like, the managing staff, you know? And that's all you really need. Hmm. By the time I get to the police, if those people have your back, I mean, what are the police going to do? Because then you paint the picture of what
happened. Yeah, he said, she said type of thing, yeah.
Did you see that the bouncer a few months ago now? It was, like, a big Maori dude.
Mm.
Got into a fight with, like, a dude my size.
Up here?
Up here.
Okay.
It was on Derby Street.
Wow.
Yeah, and the little guy could fight.
Oh, no.
And the big guy's like, he's like, come on, big fella, come on, big fella. And they're like, they're out, and the security guard's like, fuck it, I'm twice this guy's size, I'll fight him. So then they went across to this
Sun Tzu.
Old mate hit him with an overhand and fucking floored him. Like, and he didn't, like, knock him out, but, like, fucked up his inner ear and, so he had, like, the chicken legs going, couldn't stand back up, and the guy's like, come on, big boy, come on, I'm too fast for you.
No. I might even know the guard you're talking about.
Yeah.
Rings a bell there.
Yeah.
Well, his bell was definitely wrong.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah, comedy.
That's
you've
got to
respect everybody.
Yeah.
Never underestimate your enemy.
Yeah. You don't know what they know. You can't ever be too cocky.
Yeah.
I used to work with this one guard where he was, like, tall, big, broad, handsome fella. I remember he'd fucking just be chicks coming up to him all the time as he's working. He was like the supervisor at King Street right when I first started. And he was a pro Muay Thai fighter. This guy had had, like, decent amateur fights, and he had, you know, 3-4 pro fights. And we were all highly respected him, and we're like, man, this guy can really bang. Mm. And one day he had a situation, he just kind of got separated from the rest of the guys. Maybe he was out. Sometimes there'd be a situation where you've kicked something or something's happened at the club, but now you're walking to your car.
Mm.
And now you don't have the other guys. You don't have your radio, you know, your whatever.
Yeah.
And these two brothers, again, Islander boys, they put his head through a freaking windscreen or something.
Oh,
you know?
Shit.
And he was a machine.
Mm.
So, it doesn't matter. It doesn't, you know, sometimes the probability, maybe 9 times out of 10 he would have fucked them up, but if you're in enough dangerous situations, that 1 out of 10 comes around.
Yeah, everyone's got their day.
Or you're slipping, or again, especially with other people suddenly being involved who are not being involved. That's another thing, is like, going back to optics, the public is perceiving a physical situation going on, And initially, they might be on the side of the guards. But then if they see the guards are being excessive, or if they see the person could get more hurt, then they could turn on the guards.
Mm.
You know, it's the same thing with police situations. So it's important that it looks like... It's important that your actions are proportional. Not even they look like. They have to be. And understanding what is proportional.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is why I think grappling is much, much better for law enforcement and security. Because if you're not complying with whatever I'm asking you to do, the simplest answer is I bludgeon you until you comply.
Mm.
Versus grappling...
I'm just choking them out.
Or even just being able to maneuver somebody.
Yeah, just maneuvering them. Just being able to wrestle someone. Like, without even, like, when you and I rolled, you didn't need to choke me out. You did, but you didn't need to.
Yeah.
There was nothing I could do. You could just maneuver me. You could lock my arms up, like...
Positional restraint.
Yeah, you got me in a body triangle and pin my arm to me and... Kiss my neck a little bit. That was good. That was a good bit. Like, that was all right.
Keep that
what happens on the mat stays on the mats.
It is. It's really important. There needs to be some sort of a incentive, or their training should be subsidized.
Yeah.
You know, not even for their safety, but for the safety of the general public.
Yeah. I think all police officers should have Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu experience.
Yeah.
Like, you should be... Before you get, like, a certain, like, maybe constable, where, like, or senior constable, I should say, like, where you're in a situation, you should be at least a blue belt.
Yeah.
At least a blue belt. So that's, like, that's 2 or 3 years of going to jiu-jitsu 2 or 3 times a week, like...
It's good for their mental health, too.
Yeah, it's massive. It's massive. Like, I remember when I was... doing jiu-jitsu before I stopped. I started doing it because work was so stressful. And it helped, like, heaps, man.
Yeah.
But exercise in general helps
100%.
As well. 100%. Like, yeah, when I've gone through stages in my life where I've not been well, when I've exercised and I've done those things, it's helped heaps.
Yeah.
And the times where I haven't recovered properly or not been well are the times where I wasn't exercising.
It forces you to get off your device, forces you to live in the real world, really puts you in the moment. Like, there's massive, just in general, like cardio, like long, steady distance cardio, your mind really, your default mode network starts to switch off.
Mm.
Just 'cause that exertion over a long period of time. You know?
'Cause you just focus on breathing as well.
Yeah. Like. And I still, like, especially for jiu-jitsu, I think weights training takes precedent because... The rolling itself is its own kind of conditioning cardio for the sport. And I think it's really important to do that. But in between sets, you can kind of, you know, I don't know, maybe I'm just not... Some of the other guys, they totally focus there the whole hour. But in jiu-jitsu, because of the class structure, it's more outside of your control. You can't just look at your phone in between sets. You can't just do this. You can't do that.
Yeah. Yeah, because you're on the mat as well. Mm. And your bag's over wherever it is. So you're there in the moment. Yeah. I've noticed, at least personally, like, fucking Instagram reels, man.
Mm.
They're dangerous. Oh. They're like a fucking time sink, dude.
Yeah, man.
I'm bad for it.
No, like, good. You've been sending me heaps lately.
Yeah, man.
I've been getting so many.
Yeah.
And not just you, from fucking everyone.
And
it's a weird increase in it. Like, I've seen more people just sending them. And I send Bobby fucked up racist ones a bit.
I get all of those.
Yeah. But it's so good as well. Like, the reels, if you've got jiu-jitsu in your algorithm, the amount of lessons just on Instagram on, like, really fucking, like, simple moves, and you're like, holy fuck,
some of it's micro-learning, but some of it is just a complete fuck.
Most of it is. Yeah, yeah.
I found from posting things, if I post things that they really have, like, good value in terms of, like, fundamental sound, it's too good to know, they don't get nearly the amount of attention as just flashy stuff that's not really that practical.
Yeah.
So now I'm incentivized to not really share the best quality information or whatever. So it's like it puts you in. And that's why you see a lot of things that you're like, this has a bunch of views, but is it
very valuable? Comedy.
Yeah.
It's fucking all crowd work clips.
Exactly.
There's no, like, jokes don't really work.
Mm. Well, Ralphie May used to say comedy is it's an art form that cannot be documented.
Yeah, you got to be there.
Yeah. Last night I did a set, and I just came out, you know, my real, when I act through were like sloppy and high.
You mean act sloppy and high? You're sloppy and high.
Well, when you keep giving me, I'm walking past him, I'm staring down his CC and whatever he's got, and I have a sip, I'm like, all right, I'm already going, you know, get a little vibe going. And I'm up here, and this chick is in the right here. She's just laughing at my mannerisms.
Yeah.
Like, da, da, da. And she's kind of laughing, she's laughing by herself. And I just stopped, and I was like, look, you got to laugh after the joke, like, relax. And it was nothing, but in the moment, the people in the room, because of the way it's totally lost on camera.
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense. Or when you're referencing things, like, one of my biggest laughs was referencing something you said in your set 30, 40 minutes ago.
Yeah, the callback to the giving me the dick pill.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, dude. Did I tell you I walked up Nobby's Beach to go for a kite surf?
Yeah,
trying to do some fucking self-care, trying to, take my mind off things, like you said, do some cardio, put the phone away, just fucking walk up there and get up there, go to pump up my kite and it's got a fucking hole in it. Life is just kicking me in the fucking dick right now. God fucking damn it. That was a test, man.
Yeah.
That was a test.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Like, sometimes you've just got to embrace it. Like, you know what? It's fucked and there's nothing I can do about it.
Yeah, exactly.
That was like my October, November, sort of the last 3 months moving up to Christmas. It's like everything that could go wrong in my life had just went wrong. And it's like, whatever.
Yeah, Christmas and whatever. New Year's used to be good when you're a kid. It feels like it just gets more fucked the older that you get.
Yeah.
It's just like this fucked up time of year.
Mm.
I don't know what it is.
I think
maybe it's just what's going on in the world right now.
I think it was just a fucked year. Yeah. I think it was just a fucked year for everyone. I don't universally, like, almost everyone I know had a fucked year.
Yeah.
And it's like, people get to Christmas and they're so fucking over it. Like,
yeah.
I noticed at work, like, the week leading up to Christmas, everyone's super fucking tense. Like, people arguing with you. Shit like that, and
it's fucking bananas that it is this tradition that has just been passed down, like a religious Christian holiday that we're still fucking doing.
Yeah,
like, why are we still doing this shit?
You don't like it? You don't like it?
No, I don't want
to. Why not?
You know what? I can go buy gifts for people anytime.
Okay, you guys have to do it. All right. It's a different way. We're doing different things.
Well, what are you doing? Yeah. But
we're trying to like figure out what you guys are doing. Copy. We're like, oh, what are we supposed to be doing? Yeah. Okay, yeah. But
I'll tell you what we're doing. We're getting drunk and we're starting fights.
Yeah.
Fucking Christmas dinner and it's like almost like this cathartic thing of like. Families getting all their bullshit that they've built up over the year and getting it all out at one time, but also being going like, hey, I fucking hate all this shit that you did, but here's a new fucking wallet or something like that. It's a fucking weird tradition, especially in Australia. Like, it's a strange thing. There is the tradition of getting together and like cooking food together and having family time together, which is nice, but it comes with this fucking crazy chaos. And like, every white person that I know has a story about some Christmas fucking thing that has gone tits up big fucking time. It's fucking wild. Could be huge or could be little ones. Like, little one that my dad and my uncle got into a fight over a poker game on Christmas one time. They've been blowing for fucking ages because my uncle's like this really like short dude, but he got really into martial arts and stuff like that. So he was like, he learned how to fight and stuff like that. And, like, he's always, like, fucking with my dad, like, always just, like, messing with him. And my dad was, like, way bigger than him and would, like, just fucking give it back to him. But they're both older now and they're not going to fight over anything because, you know, he's disciplined now.
Mm.
He's done all the martial arts training. He knows not to fight. And my dad's chill. But, like, just this hand came out in poker, and my dad plays heaps of poker, so he knows what's going on with it, and he's, like, called it. Yeah. And then my uncle didn't agree with it and the rules or anything. He's just fucking flipped the table.
Oh, no.
He's just fucking stormed off.
Oh, no.
Had a big fucking Barney about it. I just remember that shit just going, like, we're supposed to be here for Christmas. It's supposed to be a good time.
Yeah.
We're fucking doing this shit. What are we fucking doing?
Yeah.
So, we didn't have, like, Christmas with the family this year. We just all did our own fucking thing. And it was chill. It was good.
Yeah. Tenor and I just had Christmas, just us two.
Yeah.
Ah.
And it was fucking sick, dude.
Ah, beautiful.
It was great. Like, don't get me wrong. We usually have Christmas with Tanya's family, and I love her family, and we all get along. We don't have arguments or anything like that.
You just go camping and stuff.
Go camping, whatever. Yeah. Tanya's parents always put on, like, a fucking awesome feed. But they're up north this year, and I've got my family issues, so we didn't have Christmas with anyone. And we just fucking smoke billies, and I just played video games all day. Got a new game, just fucking played that all Christmas.
Yep.
Just chilled, like, sat down and just gave each other presents, and it was fucking awesome. I'm like, man, that was one of the best Christmases in my life. It's just having it with someone who's just, you're just happy to be around them, not having to deal with stress.
No, I feel you.
Yeah.
I'm dealing with a lot of stress, brother. A lot of fucking stress.
Yeah.
It's going all right, though. We're figuring it out.
Yeah. We're on the other side of it now. We're okay.
No, we're not. You're never on the other side of it.
Yeah.
Not until at least the other person's in the grave.
Like, yeah.
You're never on the other side of it. It's a constant fucking day-by-day thing.
Whatever you're worried or stressed about now, sooner or later you're going to move on to the next thing. And I think that, keeping that in mind alone, you realize, well, how much energy can I put into this? When very soon you won't even care about it because something else will replace it. So if you then you're constantly in like a cycle of, that's why I feel like you're either happy now, right now, or you'll never will be. If you tell yourself, I need X, Y, Z, or I just need to align everything, just so then you'll have a brief period of respite. Sooner or later, things are going to go, even in small ways, you don't want them to. You get a red light, this happens, that happens.
Yeah.
So I think it's like in the face of those things, how to maintain some kind of contentment.
Yeah. You can't look for external sources for happiness. It's got to come from within. But you get that shit from, like, putting in work.
Yeah,
and like smoking shit. Weed.
And smoking weed.
Fucking buckets of weed. It's like all day, every day.
That can be a fucking problem though, man.
Oh yeah, I know. Yeah.
That is the biggest band-aid.
But it's great when it's it's happening. Yeah. When you're there.
You want a temporary fix?
Oh yeah.
It's right there.
It's not temporary if you do it all the time, man.
Yeah. We'll just put that thing off.
Yeah, dude. I had a break. I had a crazy break. So over the Christmas holidays, like, fuck it, we're gonna go for it.
Back after,
dude. We got this stuff, and it was really, really strong. Like, we got all different like strains, and dude, my first one, it put me on the fucking moon.
Yeah, I was there when I had half a one.
Yeah, you had half a one. Oh, and I even was like, oh, dude.
What are these?
No, just smoke. Weed. Yeah, just bud, dude. And
fucked me up.
Dude, it's crazy because it had hit, like, it had hit, but it wouldn't hit. Like, you know when you do a bong and it, like, almost hits you straight away and then you're high? This stuff would buzz you. And then you'd be sitting there, you'd be fine. And then all of a sudden, about 20 minutes into it, you'd be like, holy fuck, now I'm up here.
Wow.
And then you're just sailing for about 10, 15 minutes, and then it'd slowly drop off.
10 or 15? I was fucked for like 2 hours.
Yeah, maybe. My fucking idea of time really doesn't work.
I swear to God, I got to your place, had some, and then we were, like, sorting out, like, cooking dinner and shit like that. I felt like it took, like, 2 hours to cook dinner.
Yeah.
Like, it was a fucking...
Yeah.
It was a mission.
Yeah, dude. How do you think I felt?
You're up there doing shit. I'm like, fuck, yeah, I know he's handling this.
I'm cooking, like, a big feast of fried rice and all of this stuff. And at one point, that was the thing. The night before, we had a friend over and I was cooking steaks.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like there's a bit of an art to it, like cooking a perfect steak. So you've got to get it all timed so that it's all ready to dish and stuff like that. And at one point I was so fucking high and I was like, oh my God, like I don't know how I'm going to get through this. Sure. Like, I was like, oh my God. Because everything was going. Like, or is it the height? And it's like, if I don't fucking get this done, dinner's ruined. And I was just like, just trust your process, man. That's what I told myself. I was like, trust your process.
I saw this process last night happening with Bobby standing out there.
Yeah.
Dave Perry's up there murdering.
Oh. Yeah.
Oh. Absolutely murder. I've never seen Dave Perry do such a good set.
Yeah.
Every laugh he would get, I got a bit more sicker. It was sickening. I was like,
he was crushing.
Yeah, I was just mad at these two for some reason. I was like, I fucking hate Ellie. I hate Ethan. I hate this.
I was being nice.
Huh?
I was being nice.
Yeah, you guys are great. It's me. Elliot's probably, Dave's doing so well.
Yeah, Elliot was fucking with you.
It was the best.
I was trying to be in your corner.
Yeah.
I was trying to be like, no, you got this. Trust your process.
Elliot will do that.
Yeah, it was funny.
Yeah.
It was funny.
Yeah.
I honestly rock up and I need Ethan, Elliot, you guys, because you guys. Tell me what my bits are.
Elliot told him what set to do.
Yeah, he's like, Elliot's like, hey, like he's, you know, like Teddy Atlas in your corner. He's like, listen, your closer is that bit. Yeah. And he's like, you got to come up and you got to say I'm this. And I'm like, all right, I've got to fill in the gaps now.
You did that to me at the open mic the other night as well. He's like, hey, go up there, open with your strong stuff, dude. A bit of a weird crowd tonight.
That stuff, and that's where we're lucky here in the Nui scene, where you get a bit more of that from the guys who are regulars, the guys who are a bit more experienced.
Mm.
You get more mentorship versus in a bigger scene, you can kind of get lost and you know, it's...
It gets clicky and people sort of have their own people that they hang around and trust and will take advice off and won't take...
For sure. You have epiphanies on your own accord too, and I think the more you could take ownership of your own learning in anything, the better.
Mm.
But that definitely helps. Like people, you know, especially obvious things that they're seeing that you're doing poorly or building on certain strengths.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it's really fun to do when you see someone that's like fucking up and making the same mistake over and over again. Is you give them bad advice?
Oh, no.
You should do this.
Yeah.
You're notorious for it.
Oh, dude, I love it.
Someone comes up to you and they're like, oh, we're thinking about doing this. You're like, yeah, you should do it.
You should try that. Yeah, dude. I fucking love it. Like, they'll come up and they'll have this heinous joke. Mm. Like, yes, do that tonight. What are you talking? How have you not done that already?
Yeah.
You're a genius.
Yeah, dude. Can you bump me? You go in front of me. You do that joke because I just want to roast them afterwards.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's so good.
I love doing that with Brooks. I will actively heckle him mid-set.
Yeah.
And I'll let him start it. And it's the same security thing. You're backing up. You pretend to be the victim. Yeah. Bam, bam, bam. I get my Philly shot on. I just start, ta.
Well, if you go first, he will... Does he heckle you when you go first?
He tries.
Yeah.
But then the thing is, too, I'm merciless. Yeah. I will, without the mic, just from the back of the room... You know, and I don't need much. Dave, tell a joke.
Yeah.
Get off stage. And he
just sends him.
Or he'll often take, like, he'll just attack me for being Indian.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which will get the crowd off his side.
Oh, instantly. Yeah.
So then, da, 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 you know what I mean? And, yeah. I, and I'm, I am perfect at playing the whole woke equity equality. Yeah. You know what I mean? I play the
race card.
Yeah. Oh, whatever it suits my favor. Yeah. And I'm just looking at everyone being like, this bigot, you know? Yeah. But if I get up there, I'm like, this fucking white sex offender. Oh, everyone's like, yeah. I turn his own people against him. You know what I mean? Yeah. This is colonization reverse, divide and rule. I'm fucking.
Yeah. Dude.
Well, you've just done it more than him.
That's it.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's been actually he had a setup here where you were heckling him, and he was just going back and forward with you, and it worked.
And the
crowd, he was like, "What happened?" And we're like, "Yeah, you just look like you're having fun, Dave.
Yeah,
like you were smiling, you were joking. Yeah. You didn't stand up there like it was a fucking funeral."
Yeah.
He's like, "Oh,
yeah." And that depends on the headspace you're in the day and all of that shit too. Like,
yeah.
Oh my fucking Christ. You should have seen my sets on Tuesday, Wednesday. Holy fuck. Were you here for Tuesday? Yeah. You were there for that? Oh my God.
I loved it. I've been in a similar thing where I've got things on, then you bring them to the stage.
Yeah.
And then you throw them on the audience and I'm like, I totally, but I feel like that's the thing to do.
Mm.
Not all the time, but.
In the sense
if
that...
If it's an open mic.
Yes. Yeah. In the sense that, because beyond winning, as in getting the laughs, obviously that's the number one priority, it's the learning. And you learn as much just by experimentation, doing different things, getting lots and lots of data.
Yeah.
Well, I got some fucking data. I learned some shit.
Yeah.
But I learned that, like, even if I'm in the pits of fucking hell, I can still get up, do an open mic set. Do a bit of a fucking open mic therapy session. And the crazy part, wasn't the worst set of the night.
No.
There were worse sets. What are you doing? He sits up here having a mental breakdown. He's still not.
I find it wipes a lot of my emotional slate clean. Maybe it's the adrenaline, maybe it's that. And then once it's done, assuming I have a good set, like if it goes really badly, it might just compound on top of everything else. And
oh, I've done that.
But if you have a great set, I find it's just fucking amazing.
Yeah.
And whatever bullshit you had seems insignificant. I was walking down that street, Derby, fucking chest up, just smiling, telling myself I'm a fucking comedian. You know?
Yeah.
Because what else you got? You got something.
There's nothing... For me personally, there's nothing better than killing.
Yeah.
There is nothing better. Yeah. Like last night, just incredible. Just such a great feeling.
Mm.
Especially with new material. Where you're like, you've been working on it. Like I've been put a few weeks into this new, like sort of, it's probably about 5-6 minutes worth of material. Just like working on it. And it's like all come together. And then last night, it just fucking... Might have been lightning in a bottle. I hope not, but...
No.
It was
definitely not, dude.
Yeah.
It's a good crowd, and you've put the work in.
Yeah.
It's just those two things combined. It's not luck. It's fucking...
Yeah.
What's that bullshit saying? When preparation meets opportunity. It was just that.
Yeah.
And it fucking nailed... Yeah. You nailed it.
Yeah. Yeah, it was fun. This new... Yeah, that came off a set here where I'd had a really bad day at work.
Oh, and you had your rant.
I had my rant.
Yeah.
I had this fucking, just a 5-minute rant about work, just like, just going off my head. And it was basically the crowd like, holy shit. And then Mads at the back, because Mads works with me.
Yeah.
So she got all the jokes on like such a visceral level.
Wow.
She was like, holy fuck, dude. I was like, all right, sweet. That's got legs. I was like, and then I just had to hammer it out then and find the punchlines.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I think that's the way to do it. I think that's the way to do it is just to get on stage, just unapologetically, just throw as much shit out there and be like, yep, sweet, record it, listen to it back, and then write out your set. Because you can't. Yeah.
When are you going to start writing, Bobby?
Look. I do a version of riding. I don't know, brother. I don't believe in free will. I think I'm just floating around. I just rest and I'm just unfolding. You know what I mean? The universal unfolding of things.
Yeah.
Who knows? I do need to. It's like when I'm on my phone, I'm just on all these dumb apps and shit. But I do definitely need to. Even if I just have a, like last night, as I would talk about a different thing, like, okay, naturally, topic of travel will come up. So then I have jokes on travel.
Mm.
So when I would enter, it would almost be like a natural conversation or natural speaking, having some starting point and then an end point. And then it's like how I get there, it'll be based off of what the natural topics are, so to speak. And I think, I don't know what to do.
There's like,
what do you mean you don't know what to do? Buy a pen, buy a piece of paper, buy a book, and start writing.
I hear you.
Pen on the fucking paper.
Because it's getting a bit sad when you're...
It's so easy.
I hear you.
I think also you're very good off the cuff. So I think what would probably help you is getting up on stage and doing exactly what I just said, which is throwing as much shit at the wall as you can, but then... You've got to record it and go back and watch it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because your memory is
fucked. Yeah, dude. I'm in the same boat.
Well, like, you're both fucking weed smokers.
What do you expect?
I have a joke about how it's great having the short-term memory loss from your car, you know? From the weed, you know?
Yeah, it can be.
You park your car somewhere, you can't find it. Now it's like a game.
It's a game of, am I going to make it home tonight?
Bro, one time... I remember I'm going to teach a class in Campbelltown. So I leave the Central Coast, like 2-3 hour drive. And I decide to stop midway because I was like, I get motivated every so often. And I'm like, I'm going to get jacked. I'm going to eat every 2 hours. So it was like my 2 hour window was within the drive. So I had to pull over to eat. And I stopped at a 7-Eleven, whatever. Got some, there was some rubbish in the car. I threw it out, went to a local park, ate my food. I go back to my car. I don't have my keys. So I'm like, what the fuck? So then I retrace all my steps. And I'd taken two totally different routes to and from the park. Yeah. And I go back to the little spot I was sitting. I'm going up to like random school children. Hey, have you guys seen the fucking pair of car keys? Bro, I'm in a public bath. And the whole time stressing out because I'm missing this fucking... Then I'm ringing my fucking... My boss. Hey, man, I might be late. Da-da-da-da-da. And this is like... One of my biggest days, like in terms of most of my teaching commitments. Anyway, something in me, I go back to my car and I'm just like, okay, cool. Tell my parents I'm going to have to call a locksmith. And I realize this whole thing is going to cost me way more than anything I was going to make. Anyway, I'm going to have to go fucking do all this toy and all that. And then something in me said, what was the first thing I did? I threw rubbish in the bin. Is it possible that I threw my keys in the bin? And I go up to the 7-Eleven, go, hey, can I go through the bin? And then I'm like, chicks are filling up, and I'm like, opening the bin, and I'm like, and they're like, what the fuck is that? And I'm like, look, I am not a crazy person. I've lost my keys, and I'm super polite. Anytime a situation like that, I'm like, excuse me, ma'am, I don't want to make you feel crazy. Yeah. And this lady was so lovely. In the midst of all my turmoil, she goes, let me get you these hand wipes so you can da-da-da. And I remember by then, so much more rubbish had been put in. And thankfully, they hadn't changed the rubbish bag. Mm. I found my keys. Yeah. And I remember cleaning it off with the sanitary wipes and just the happiness, you know?
Yeah.
When you have your keys on you, you're not running around in jubilation. I've got my car keys.
Yeah.
I can make it home. It's not going to cost me a K.
Yeah.
But far out in that moment, the relief.
Dude, that feeling, that pit in your stomach, how you do on these ones. Fuck.
Bro, I got pickpocketed by this little Indian in India. Oh, my God. In the Punjab? Yeah, bro. I just blushed into him for a second.
Yeah.
And that has scarred me for life. And that's why I bum bag. I tie this shit up. I look at people different. Mm. You know what I mean? Fuck. I don't know how he did it. And I was wearing a traditional Indian outfit where your pockets are like fucking like close to a foot long. But this guy, it's probably his bread and butter.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, dude. He's like a black belt.
He's a black belt.
Yeah.
Mm. Imagine, like, obviously here it's a totally different situation. But imagine, it's like that guy who used to fly around the carpet, Aladdin.
Aladdin.
I call him Aladdin.
Aladdin. Yeah. It's probably
what
right.
What do you say? Aladdin.
Aladdin.
Aladdin. Oh, you know Aladdin, he's going around stealing apples. Imagine being in a bazaar, fucking crazy packed marketplace, and daily to eat, you're going to have to commit theft in a country where they cut your hands off.
Dude, yeah.
For stealing. Whoa.
Yeah.
Crazy.
The adrenaline, though.
Jesus
Christ. They must be the happiest people in the world.
Oh, my God.
Like, you finish a
that
day.
That apple must taste
so good, yeah.
You think that guy's depressed? Not at all. He's fucking, he has to be, he doesn't have no time to be depressed.
Yeah, dude. Yeah.
He's fucking life or death.
That's like people in the jungle. You like, you hear about like the people living in the South America in the jungle. They're all fucking happy.
Yeah.
And you're like, yeah, but it's
like, got bigger problems.
I don't know if they're happy.
They're happy, dude.
I don't know, dude. I think they're happy.
No, because here's the thing. Happy. They're getting that, like, relief all the time.
Mm. Yeah, but they're also like, oh, fuck, I could be eaten by a snake tonight all the time.
No, but their scope of what they need to worry about is so, like, limited. Like, yes, it's high so stress.
Shit. I might get eaten by a tiger in the middle of the night. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah, but here's the thing. They don't I think what happens to us is a lot, we get these highs where you might have a good relationship for a while. You might get some big opportunity. Mm. And then when the regression in your life happens, that's the problem.
Mm. Yeah, we have higher highs, lower lows. Yeah,
when you're only sleeping on an air mattress, it's no worries. But when you have to like downsize from a four-bedroom fucking place to like a townhouse, that's a punch in the guts.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. I think the idea of hunting and killing your food and being like, I'm not going to starve, is probably better than killing on stage.
Yeah, well, actually killing.
Yeah.
I'm packing Mitch's.
Yeah.
Maybe you should go fishing again, bro.
Yeah, maybe.
Have you ever killed an animal?
Huh?
Yeah, you killed fish?
Yeah, I've killed fish.
Like an animal?
I'm not going to say that on a podcast, my friend.
Bro, are you hunting? Really? Do you think it's that crazy?
No, I'm pro hunting. I'm joking. Yeah.
I've killed an animal.
Yeah, I tortured some
cats this morning. Put him in the microwave.
I killed a kookaburra.
Yeah.
Whoa. It was injured.
Huh?
Was it injured?
Yeah. It was injured. Yeah. I'm not just out there fucking killing native wildlife like a fucking domesticated house cat.
One time I remember I had a slingshot and I was like 5 or 6 and I was trying to take out some kind of bird. This is like such an old memory that I'm like piecing it together. I lived in a place called Hobartville.
Yeah, okay.
Which is next to Windsor, Richmond.
Yeah.
We were like the only little Indian family there. We're learning about so much different shit. I mean, one time we had like an injured miner, like Indian miner or something. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And this bloke, I swear to God, he had like the Ivan Milat mustache.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking country hat on, and he sees me and my dad. We were like, shoot all the other birds were trying to kill it and it injured it. So we'd like grabbed them, we were going to give it water and stuff. And he walks over to us, he's like, oh, what do you got there? I was like, oh, we've got this bird, we're trying to save it. He's like, oh, let me have a look at that. And he just snapped its neck, like twisted it. And I was in horror, and he goes, invasive species.
Calling like, the Indian minor bird an invasive species and killing it in front of 2 Indian people.
And I was like, Dad, what does he think of us?
It was almost personal.
We're not native either. Like, fuck.
What's this gonna go do? If he finds you on the side of the road with a broken leg.
Holy shit. I was like, wow, what the fuck?
Yeah. But no, there is that, like, if it's in pain and it's injured and it's not going to make it, it's the best fucking...
Oh, yeah, fucking nice. Yeah.
The kookaburra that we found had, like, a fucked up leg, like it had been hit by a car.
Mm.
And we're in the middle of the country. There's no vets around that are open or anything. And even if you took it there, it wouldn't have fucking made it.
Nah.
So, yeah, I just took it back to the farm and chopped its head off.
Yeah.
Which wasn't
Jesus
fucking great, but...
It doesn't kill them right away either.
No,
they start fucking hopping around. You're like, oh shit!
No, it didn't hop around. Like it lay there and looked up at me, and it didn't even fucking squirm.
Whoa. Yeah,
it was kind of like, please,
that
fucking do
eye
this.
Eye contact shit is.
Yeah,
fucking...
it looked me in the eyes until its fucking eyes went shut, and I was like, okay, it needed to go. And this was a week after I went up to Harrington for like this was like last New Year's. Went up there, and I'm just driving into town, coming past like. On the way in, and this fucking kookaburra is like chasing another bird, pretty sure it was like an Indian miner. The Indian miner like flies in front of my van, gets completely fucking wiped out, splattered, and then the kookaburra hit the top of the van and went up over the top and got knocked out and landed on the road. And I'm like, fuck. Checked on it and it was like, all right. And I hopped off and took off and I was like, Jesus Christ. And then a week later, another one on the fucking road. I'm just like, what are these kookaburras fucking doing to me, dude?
Yeah.
What have I done?
It's a 5G, bro.
Yeah. Suicidal kookaburras.
Yeah.
That's fucked up.
Watched a movie a little while ago. I can't remember the name of it now. It's pretty new on Netflix. It's about the end of the world.
Oh, wow.
So they're like...
They're all sitting around the table?
Yeah, yeah. They're like... Yeah. So they're on the... They're just sitting on the beach. And... There's a boat coming towards them.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I don't think this boat's moving. And it's like the classic, like, pedestrian thing. Like, people don't react until it's too late.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, everyone just manages to get out of the way. But, dude, made me think, like, end of the world, like, society collapses. You're so fucked.
Yeah.
You're so fucked. Like, your chances of making it out.
I'm barely surviving this society.
Yeah.
Dude.
People are like doomsday prepping, thinking that they can fucking survive like an apocalypse.
No, but those people who are prepared, if it goes for like, let's say something goes wrong, but temporarily, they'll be okay.
Yeah.
But if it proper kicks off and it proper ends, I think the only people who are going to be around at the end of it are islanders. Those dudes will just... fucking take over.
What about all the...
It's dangerous to have. It's also dangerous to have not.
Yeah.
Because if you have and people know you have it...
Yeah, they're coming after you.
They're coming after you.
But I reckon there's elite, like, fucking rich, wealthy people that have, like, underground bunkers that are filled with shit.
Oh, they're 100%.
Why wouldn't you put a little bit of your income in there?
Hundreds of years underground, yeah. For sure.
That's why I left Melbourne during COVID.
Yeah.
I remember shit was just kicking off. I rang my pop. He's, like, the oldest, wisest guy in the family. I talked to my friend. The advice he gave me, he goes, bro, you can't run off to your family every time there's a little problem. I go, this is a global pandemic.
Yeah, dude.
I'm going home. I'm going to go look after the freaking convenience store.
Yeah.
I bought a bow and arrow. I was like, let's go. If anyone wants to take extra toilet paper rolls and shit, we'll see what's up.
Yeah. Yeah, I've got a lot of fucking... I've got a sword. I've got a sword made of T10 tool steel.
Oh, wow.
So, like, the same shit they make out of spanners and stuff like that. It's like an industrial sword. Like, it's made to cut off heads.
We get squeamish about birds dying and it affects us. You know what I mean?
Like someone pops in through my front window.
Yeah, because we're very soft and easy. It's much more steps as opposed to somewhere sub-Saharan Africa or the Middle East. It's less of a jump, I guess, for most people to start doing real barbaric, savage
already
shit.
Living in chaos.
Yeah, I think it wouldn't take long.
You think so?
I think it wouldn't take long for the society. Society collapses. I don't think it takes long for
even
it
here
to,
you reckon in Australia
100%.
Wow,
easy. I think yeah, and that's really what I've been thinking about lately is like, all right, cool. So someone might
we're smoking too much weed.
Someone busts through my front window. What's the decision I'm gonna make? And it's like, I'm gonna fucking kill that guy.
Yeah
like Tanya's up barricading the bedroom and standing there with the sword, stabbing the first person who comes through that door because they will come through it eventually. Or she's climbing out the window and running down the street.
My mum always...
But I'm dying on the front door. I'm dying on the front step.
My mum always tidies up my room. And when she comes and tidies up my room, one time she took the arrows and she's like, put them somewhere else. And I come home and I'm talking and I go, hey, listen, if an intruder comes through and I'm standing there with my bow and I got no arrows... What the fuck am I going to do? Leave the arrows next
where
to the boat.
Live. Yeah.
Far out. Yeah. Come on. Yeah. There's a crazy Indian story. They talk about it in all our songs. These two lovers, let's say Indian Romeo and Juliet, they ran off, right? And the male lover, his name's Mirza. He's an extremely good archer, like renowned for his archery. And as they're running away from her parents' house, they rest on a hill underneath a tree, and he puts his head down on her lap, and he's having a nap. And she's sitting there, lying, like, sitting against the tree, and in the distance, She had five brothers. She sees her brothers coming, like galloping up. And she goes, if I wake him up, he's going to shoot and kill all of them.
Mm.
So what she does is she thinks, I'll try to talk to them, but I need to buy time.
Mm.
So in the meantime, she goes, she snaps his arrows.
Can I ask why he's going to kill all of their brothers?
Because they have to kill the male lover because it's a dishonored family.
Right.
And the chick can't be run. This is like, for them, disgrace. The only way to undo the disgrace is to kill the guy and bring her home and shit. Yep. So this, it's already like, kill or be killed.
So she snapped his arrows.
She snapped his arrows.
He has no way to defend himself.
He wakes up. The brothers, first of all, the betrayal of this bitch just snapped my arrow. Next thing you know, bam, they grab him up and they just shut her up and boom, behead this guy. So he's gone. And then she's like, oh my God, what have I done? I could have had a great life with this guy, and she couldn't have both, and the family.
Yeah.
But then the guilt of it all, she ends up committing suicide.
Yeah. Don't snap your dude's arrows.
Yeah, don't.
What the fuck, mum?
But that's her brothers.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
So she got put in this horrible predicament where she was trying to, I guess the moral of the story would be, sometimes you can't have your cake and eat it.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude. There's wild parts of the world where it's just like, all right, this is kill or be killed, and it's based solely on honor.
Yeah.
Solely on honor. We are so lucky to live in the world that we live in today. Like, if there was road rage back 200 years ago, it was a fight to the death.
Mm. Oh, yeah. Like, pistols at dawn because you cut me off.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Like, yeah. Yeah, you could have honor fights when there wasn't that many people.
Yeah.
It's like, now there's fucking 27 million of us. Like, we can't be having pistols at dawn anymore.
We should.
We should.
Because there'd be a lot more parking spaces available.
There'd be a lot less road rage, too.
Yeah.
Like, all right, am I going to get up tomorrow at sunrise and fucking shoot this dude? All right, cool. I'll just let him in traffic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's amazing your ego, that means so much to you. Like, oh, I've been slighted.
Mm.
Like, you couldn't let that go. You would think less of yourself. I guess that's the reason why people feel like they have to risk death to duel this guy. They couldn't just be like, whatever, you got it over me.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it comes from, like, have you watched Chimp Empire?
Mm-mm. Oh, dude, it's so good.
It's so good. Watch it. Yeah, yeah. It'll change your perspective on humans because they're like us.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy. And, like, they've got, like, different tiers and cliques and stuff like that. And it's about these two tribes of chimps that are, like, at war. And they used to be one tribe, but it got so big they splintered off.
Yeah.
So they have, like, wars.
Whoa.
And, like, it breaks down, like, the social hierarchy of the chimps, and there's the alpha, and then there's the, like, there's his best mate who's, like, the biggest guy in the tribe but doesn't want to be the alpha.
Mm.
So, like, they just hold it over each other, and you're like, holy fuck, dude, like, there's so many parallels for humanity. And then I'm, like, got fucking roasted last night. Watch a documentary on fucking Julius Caesar.
Mm.
And just like how he came to power, and it was exactly the same thing. He's just like he got two dudes who are also fucking bad motherfuckers, and they just ran shit.
Damn.
And like, he broke all the laws for them. They were super corrupt. And then he went off to like Germany and France and Gaul back then, just fucked everything up, killed a million people.
I came, I swore, I conquered.
Yeah, yeah. And then his dude who was like, he did all this for, betrayed him. Because one of the guys died and the other one's like, fuck, he's coming back. Mm. So they started this huge civil war, chased him to Egypt.
Jesus.
Yeah, got to Egypt and was ready to forgive him. Was like, you're too good. Like, you're too good to, like, kill.
Mm-hmm.
But the Egyptians killed him.
Oh.
So he got there and they presented his head on a platter. He's like, what the fuck?
I was going to forgive this guy.
He goes, I was going to forgive him. He goes, I was coming over here to make peace with him because I need him back here. He's too important.
Yeah. Damn.
Why would you do this to him? And then they're like, so that started a war in Egypt, and then he met fucking Cleopatra, and she's like, I'll suck your dick.
No.
He's like, yes, yes. I'll kill your little brother.
Wow.
Drowned him in a river. It was great.
Crazy.
Dude. things we do for pussy. And then he took her back to Rome. He's like, look at my sweet new Egyptian girlfriend. They stabbed him to death.
Oh. You can't win.
He rocked up. He's like, she had a kid. No, that's your kid. He's like, no, it's not. She's like, I named him Caesar. Like, that's your kid, dude.
Damn.
They stabbed him.
Fuck.
I reckon his kid stabbed him. His son.
Really?
I reckon one of his... One of them,
Brutus was the main guy, right?
Brutus.
That was one of his sons?
That was his son, they reckon. Yeah, that was...
Whoa.
So Brutus was part of the Civil War as well, was on the other side, and he got forgiven. So, like, he's winning the war. Julius Caesar's winning the war, and, like, he's capturing these guys. He goes, yeah, just go back. He goes, it's fine. You're forgiven. And then Brutus is like, nah, fuck that.
It's one thing if there's, like... Like a hereditary monarchy, you know, where there's, let's say, centuries or what line of these, like, monarchs one after the other. But then there's been some instances where one man's just decided, Napoleon, Caesar, oh, hey, guys, I'm just a regular, obviously I'm not a regular guy, but I'm, I have an important position. But from tomorrow, Ethan, Mitch, I have an idea for you guys. I'm King Bobby.
Yeah.
Everyone bow to me. I'm my word is law. And then they make that work.
Yeah, like
people, dude.
And people fall in line.
And people it's fall like in how? Line, you know?
Yeah.
It's incredible. Hitler goes from being a painter to being like a totalitarian.
The Führer.
Yeah. That's crazy.
Yeah.
You can get so good at playing the power game that you ascend, just like you ascend in any kind of field, and bam, like...
Yeah.
All of a sudden, you're a king.
Yeah.
But a self-made king. Like, that's outrageous.
Well, he, the crazy thing about Julius Caesar, like, his uncle and his cousin were, like, they're part of the Populares Party. It's, like, the populists. So, basically the ancient version of communists.
Okay, wow.
So faggots.
Yeah.
Had to get one in.
Yeah.
We haven't dropped a slur this episode.
Think Jared Moore, but badass, you know? But, like, they lost the war. So, like, his uncle and his cousin, who were, like, giga chads in the ancient world, like, both died, had to kill themselves. So he went into exile. And then the guy who was, like, coming against him died, and then he went back. Dude, when he was 25, he got taken hostage by pirates. Pirates are there, and he's, like, friends with them. He's doing poetry for them on the boat and fucking... And they're like, all right, we're going to ransom you, like, for 10 of these fucking things, which are worth 100,000 each.
Whoa.
For 10 of these little coins with 100,000. He goes, they go, yeah, we're going to ask for 10, 20. He goes, ask for 50. They go, what? He goes, yeah, ask for 50. And then after I get released, I'm coming back and I'm going to kill you all. And they're like, all right, whatever, little man. Whatever. And then he fucking...
He's like the little dude fighting the bouncer.
Yeah, dude. And then he rocked up and then he captured them. He fucking... What did they do to Christ? They fucking
crucified
him and he slit their throats.
Whoa.
Dude. Whoa. And he was friends with them.
Whoa.
He was on their boat doing poetry to them.
Jesus.
And he also fucked dudes, apparently.
Nice.
Yeah. Julius Caesar liked to fuck.
Good on him.
Yeah,
good
he
on
was
him.
Friends what with this place? One king. He just went into his court.
He was ahead of his time.
Yeah, he's just... Dude, some people good at playing the power game, yeah. Bobby.
Well, I reckon... See, like, cause, like the Greeks, you know, they're wrestling naked, they're doing all these things. I think the further back we go, the closer we are to animals.
Yeah. It's just the fellas, you know?
Yeah.
Just the fellas just the having fun. It's crazy how gay it was back in ancient times.
Those jiu-jitsu memes about jiu-jitsu being gay fucking kill me every time.
Oh, dude. Yeah. They used to have the Olympics and no women allowed and you weren't allowed to wear clothes. The one guy who made that up was clearly gay and he just tricked all the straight
dudes. It's the rule. Boys, it's the rules.
Gay dudes will do that. Gay dudes will do that because I got done by a gay dude once too. Not
I
fucked.
I wouldn't word it like that.
Nah.
Yeah.
When I was in the Air Force, we were in recruits and there was one of the instructors was gay, but we didn't know.
Mm.
And then one day he's just like, yeah, fucking quick change. Everyone's got a shower and you're not allowed to close the door. And he just stood there and watched everyone shower and we didn't notice. And then like a few years later, I was like, oh, that guy was gay. And then that memory popped back into my head. Wow. I was like, motherfucker, he did me like that Greek dude did the guys in the Olympics.
It's funny back then that all the statues were like, they all had tiny cocks.
Yeah.
Because it was like, a sign of like your
civility.
Civility, yeah. You're not like a fucking
a barbarian.
Yeah. But it's still the same today. Like if you get up on stage and start talking about how big your cock is,
people don't like it.
It's the same shit.
Yeah,
we're doing the same shit.
Yeah.
We'll wrap up with just shit that we're thinking about fucking writing.
Yep.
Just this memory popped back into my head of we used to catch the same bus to school up in Taree, and it was like probably like a 45-minute bus ride in or whatever. And it's like it was like predominantly young fucking males on the bus. So there's like hierarchy of sitting up the back of the bus versus the front, fucking all that shit. There's this kid in a bit like a couple of years younger than us. He must have just been like out of like year seven. Like just into high school, and he gets on the bus one day and he's just like, oi, boys, like, have you ever tried this? Have you ever tried when you're in the shower, you get a bit of shampoo, you put it on your finger, and you just put it in your ass? He's like, it feels really good. he's trying to share this newfound
life
information.
Hack,
yeah, this
hack.
Life yeah. hack that he's found.
Yeah.
That no one, like, it was what, like 15 years ago?
Yeah, it was like 2005, 2006.
Wow. Yeah, like no one is ready for this information.
No.
But like this guy's like ahead of his time.
Crazy.
Like these days, everyone would be like, yeah, of course. That's the prostate. That's yeah. Where, yeah.
Sick.
Yeah, that's,
yeah.
That'll make you bust.
But he did it.
But did it to a bunch of like older like kids in school who just bullied this poor cunt relentlessly for it for like years.
Yeah.
I remember there was a kid in science class and he's like, yeah. So you know about wanking, you wank, yeah? And I hadn't started. I didn't know. But I didn't want to be like, I don't know what this hip thing this guy's. I'm like, yeah, all the fucking time, dude. Yeah, all about it, da, da, da. And the more he started explaining it, and I'm first of all, boy, have the times changed. Like that Bobby to this Bobby, I've made fucking progress. I've gone from the open mics to a Netflix special on that front. Yeah. Like, fucking hell. But that was the time.
It's crazy. Dude.
Yeah.
I'm trying to write a bit. It's just basically a one-liner. Like, it took like years to make Avatar.
Mm.
Like years. They spent like a decade making the first Avatar, and in 2 weeks they had it on Pornhub.
Oh, wow.
It's like, wow. Yeah. They just needed to show titties in that movie. It would have got made way quicker.
Yeah,
way quicker.
That's what I feel like about like all this AI stuff and like how quickly it's progressing.
Mm.
It's just, the porn side of it is just going to fucking go.
That's great because like, if you send dick pics, you got plausible deniability.
Yeah.
You'd be like, yo, what are you talking about? I ain't doing nothing crazy. Yeah, it's AI.
That's not my dick.
The AI girlfriends. They got AI girlfriends where it's like an app and I'm seriously considering putting some money behind this company. Like, because it's like, I think it's going to be the next Apple.
Wow.
Because it's literally like there's a loneliness epidemic at the moment. Like, like not everyone's out here like
getting pussy. No, you got to look at Japan and what they're into. Because, they're fucked. Like, Japanese dudes are not getting any pussy.
No.
Horrific.
Yeah, not good.
Yeah.
But if you want to get some pussy, you go to Japan.
Yeah.
You will clean up.
Yeah. Well, I won't because I don't like little short fat dudes, but...
Should get on a bit of test or something. We should jab you up.
Yeah, can you hook me up?
Yeah, brother, what can't be done?
Dude.
What can't be done?
Can you imagine me on steroids?
There's a will, there's a way.
Imagine me on steroids?
Brother, you don't know until you try it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, your dick's not getting any smaller.
Yeah, that's true. I don't mind sitting down to pee. All right, we'll call it there. Bobby Sandu, what's your Instagram?
It's Bobby Sand HUBJJ. Bobby Sandu BJJ.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah, dude. We went to watch you fucking fight at, I can't remember what it was now, in Sydney a couple of weeks ago before you went to Thailand.
Really?
Yeah. We bought tickets. It was the guy that you were supposed to fight fucking dominated the bloke. I was talking to Dave about it. He reckons you would have fucked him up.
Okay.
He said he's rolled with him.
Bobby was flying the country, so he didn't have to.
I trained Bobby. With that guy.
Yeah.
He had a good back and forth. He injured my left knee, but...
Yeah.
So that would have been an interesting matchup. How was the event, Subversion?
It was great.
Yeah.
It was great. The best match of the night was the first one. There was a green belt.
Mm-hmm.
From the Central Coast, wore a cowboy hat and like a blue belt who had like a big following, and she just dominated the blue belt.
Wow.
Like everything that the
Central Coast girl did well.
Yeah, the Central Coast girl. Mm-hmm. She just like was just constantly on the attack, setting traps. Mm-hmm. Every time the blue belt would defend, she'd fall into another trap.
Damn.
And it was just like, it was like a 4-minute match where she was just constantly defending, and then eventually she got tapped out. And it was the best one of the night.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah, the main event, I'm going to be honest, was probably the worst match of them all, because it was just two of the biggest human I've ever seen in my life. This guy who won, and he got two takedowns, but apart from that, there wasn't much else. It was, mm-hmm. yeah, it's...
Oh, both black belts? Or...
I don't know.
Like main event?
I have no idea. It was main event. It was for the heavyweight. It was the first belt that they'd had on. I reckon they should have went like a welterweight or a middleweight like for their first belt. But look, it is what it is. It was a good match.
I hope we can get that fight back on the cards with Subversion with Cassie. Mm. He's got MMA experience. He's got really good wrestling. So
yeah,
I'll have to test myself against him.
Yeah, dude. His wrestling was really good. He just fucking... manhandle this guy to the ground and then Kimura'd him.
There you go.
Yeah, so.
And he's getting more and more well-rounded. It's good to see guys. Now you can't have any holes. You got to be good everywhere, great at a few things.
Yeah. But Dave said he knows him. He reckons you'll fuck him up.
Well, high praise from Dave Brooks, my best friend.
Yeah. All right, we're out.
Awesome.
All right, see you later. Bye.